Hey, Byzantz, the time has come. On the air since 2009, the independently produced, non-FCC compliant champ of video game talk podcasting. Here comes Tiger Claw Radio. Here's your host, Critical Failure.
Yes, friends, it's Tiger Claw Radio 160. Back in the saddle, guys. What's going on? This is Critical Failure. Oh, boy. This week we've got refurbishing my old computer. The adventures of running an e-machine in 2016. Also running a game server on the Raspberry Pi 2. That's pertinent information, seeing as the Raspberry Pi 3 was just released. The $35 computer continues to evolve. This week's Game of the Week. Yeah, I'm doing that now, apparently. Alright, guys. Music has been a bit of an issue. I'm running out of tracks to play because I basically wiped all of my my music except for like a couple of CDs. So this week, musically, we're going to feature my album, The King of Time, which I released in 2010. It's a chiptune album made entirely with Famitracker. I released it on Bandcamp under the name Green Leo. There's a link on TigerClawTV.com. You can go download it. I'm going to be playing Green Leo tracks this week, not because I want to promote my own music, because it's all free. You can just go grab it if you feel like it. But because I own the rights to it, and I have it ready to go. And it's short. I can play one of these, and it's not going to... It's not going to drag on. So, all right, guys, this is Twinkle Heart Bubble, which is track 5 off of The King of Time. And you're listening to Tiger Claw Radio. Song is old enough that it appeared on the main page of the 8-Bit Collective back in 2010, before they shut down. That's Twinkle Heart Bubble from the album The King of Time, available for free on Tiger Claw Radio. Okay, so, let's see. Doing a lot of computer hardware stuff. I mean, I talk about this every week, but I'm building the new PC. I have a couple of videos up about it on YouTube, collecting the parts one at a time, because I have a $10 a week pocket money budget, and I just made the decision, hey, I'm going to buy a computer with my pocket money budget. Why not? Well, the processor came today, which is really exciting. That showed up, and so now I got the processor, I got the aftermarket fan, I got the motherboard, I checked, there is thermal paste that comes along with the processor. I'm not going to assemble those parts until I get the power source, because I ordered this little wristband that you put on, and it's supposed to, you clip it to yourself and then to the plugged in turned off power source, which doesn't seem very smart, but the plugged in turned off power source, and that's how you ground yourself, essentially, so that you don't, if you have any static electricity in your body, you don't discharge it on your computer components, thus damaging them. So I'm going to wait for that to show up so that I don't damage my processor or my motherboard or anything else for that matter. But it's almost put together. The only pieces I'm missing now to get a successful boot are the process, or the, excuse me, the power source and a hard drive, and that's it. Sweet. So, in my spare time, I've been taking a look at this old eMachines computer that I have, and the serial number on this eMachines computer, for any of you big hardware nerds, is T3522. That's the computer I have. I've been looking at this thing. What can I do with it? Is there anything you can do with an old computer now? And I looked up, they did some reading on the subject, and yeah, as a matter of fact, there are quite a few good articles on what can you do with an old computer. The very first thing I found was learn networking. If you have two computers, you can rig them up to talk to each other. So, hey, that's what I started working on. Got some cables and figured I could collect some older games that would run on this old machine, get two copies, and hey, I can make a LAN party, mini LAN party here at the house whenever I wanted. And I got the model number of an old video card that can fit in the PCI Express slot. Let's see, I think I even have it on here. It's in the same text documents I put the TCR notes. A couple of suggestions were a GeForce 7200 GS, which is an oldie, and an 8400 GS. 7200 or 8400 are both graphics cards for about $30 a piece, which I found on message forums. People were asking, "Hey, what can go in this pre-built computer that I have?" And those were the graphics cards posted in 2010. So old GeForce graphics cards that you can get for cheap. Not sure what that's going to enable me to play, but on this old puppy, I kind of just want to get one just cause I want to deck this thing out like a transformer. But that's on my shopping list for later. Anyway, so the LAN party thing is pretty cool. Another really popular item for something you can do with an old computer is turn it into like a media station. That seems like a big one. At least in the older articles. If you got a DVD drive, hook it to your TV and there you go. That can play your DVDs. You can and then media files and whatever. So that's a thing. I'm not exactly sure how I would make that work now. But what I found most interesting was this suggestion. Turn your old computer into a server. You can make it into a home server in your network, or you can make it into a web server. One article I read described a guy who set up his computer in his network at home that had a bunch of printers on it, so he could execute the printers remotely. Like he could print stuff out before he left the office, then he got home and they'd be there. Printers are pretty sophisticated now. I don't know if you need to hook up an old computer to do that, but that led me to this idea. If you can use an old computer as a server, as a web server, something you can like host a web page from or make connectable from the outside, how about putting like a server package for a video game and hosting it from this old computer? There's an idea. We got some old LAN games I was talking about. What about I could connect it directly to the router, or not the router, excuse me, the modem, and circumvent the router so that I don't have to mess with my father-in-law's router settings. I could just leave the machine in the closet. Then it occurred to me, what do I even need that for? I've got a Raspberry Pi. Raspberry Pi's got a gigabyte of RAM in it. Somewhere between 1 and 2 megahertz processor and a gig of RAM. I did some searching. People are hosting games from their Raspberry Pi, which is perfect because there's tutorials on setting that up. I can dial into the Pi through PuTTY, and it's tiny, so we keep our router in the closet in the cellar because it's like the central most point of the house. Distributes the Wi-Fi everywhere. So I can just hook up this Pi right next to the cable modem and just let it sit there in the closet and let it run 24/7. And then I got really excited and I wrote an email out to the next round guys that I'm tight with, the most tight with. And I floated this idea. Because we pay for Mumble every week, maybe we could make our own Mumble just for my Raspberry Pi. Or we could have like a 24/7 Quake server, a 24/7 Unreal Tournament server. Unreal Tournament in particular is a game that Sean and I talked about running a server like maybe 2013 we wanted to do this. 2012 we had a Counter-Strike 1.6 server, but the next summer we talked about doing Unreal Tournament. We never made it happen. So those from a technological standpoint, absolutely doable. But then, like, right after I wrote that email, I started coming back down to earth, and I was like, wait a second. That uses up household bandwidth, right? So let's figure out how much that is. A game server, no problem, because unless we're playing the game, it's kind of sit idle. It might use a little, but so. However, a Mumble server, if we, like, I did some checking, and support-wise, it would run like a 10 slot, no problem. But running voice over internet protocol all the time, the figures I got were anywhere between 250 to 900 gigs of bandwidth per day. That's a pretty heavy load for a home, like, internet deal. So I don't know about that, but I can definitely set it up to play some Quake or some Unreal Tournament. And I already have the hardware to do it. I just need to spend a weekend sorting out the finer details. And, man, that's really cool. I saw some images of like, some dudes who had, like, 3 or 4 Raspberry Pis that were all hooked up to this network, all hosting different things. And it kind of looked like a mainframe kind of thing wired together. Pretty sweet. So that's my adventures with the Raspberry Pi. Like I said, I have a Raspberry Pi 2, and all I use it for right now is basically an emulation machine. There's a Linux distribution that runs emulators. I put that on a 3x5, a micro SD card. That's what the Raspberry Pi boots from, and that's all I use it for. So I'm told that this device, the Raspberry Pi, can do some amazing things beyond that which I use it for. And so, like, I'm kind of just scratching the surface and, like, unlocking the potential of this device. So that was also one of the things I was interested in, and seeing what other cool stuff I can do with the Pi. So I don't know. Maybe it's all for naught. Maybe I'll find out it's more trouble than it's worth and just drop $12 or whatever and open an Unreal Tournament server for the summer and let, like, gameservers.com deal with all the technical issues. I don't know. We'll see. But it certainly seems doable. It's certainly something I want to try. Moving on, we come to the game of the week. The game of the week. Wait a second now. Tiger Claw Radio has been back on the air for a good long time. I haven't done a game of the week. Yes, I have. Go back and listen to episode 0, my friend. Recorded from the parking lot of a Best Buy on the night of the inaugural day of President Obama. It was the day President Obama was inaugurated. Was the day I recorded the first TCR. And on that episode, I talked about how much I thought that the Irate Gamer was awesome, for one thing, and the game of the week was Hidden and Dangerous for the PC. So yes, game of the week. This is the second game of the week now, almost 8 years later. And the game of the week is... You know, I really don't know what possessed me to start playing through this game now. Cave Story. Cave Story has been in my... Cave Story Plus has been in my Steam account for a good long time, and I'm just finally actually starting to play through it. Now, I've played Cave Story for many years. It was first introduced to me as a freeware game by Ben Hall, the host of Video Game Takeout, back in my Retroware TV days. He suggested it to me because at that time I was still, like, the freeware guy. I was making a lot of freeware videos on the internet, and I played it, but I didn't play through it. I played probably, like, the first 45 minutes, and I was like, man, this game is really cool. But at that time, I was really digging into figuring out all sorts of freeware games, so I kind of glossed over it. In the last week, I've really started to play through this game, and it's tough because I don't want to spoil it, because, man, I was not expecting this game to get me right in the feels. Dem Cave Story feels. My goodness. And what a game. Great arcade stick game. My goodness. Play it with an arcade stick. Live your life. Do yourself a favor. And that's it. I don't want to talk about the story at all. It doesn't matter that the game's 10 years old. You got... I love it. It's a great game. A game that was so good it caused me to revive a nearly 8-year-old segment that I have never... Actually, okay, we'll say last week's game of the week is Dead or Alive 2, because I want to talk about that a little bit as well. How that went... that went over doing the... doing the Let's Play on the air. Hold on, guys. Everybody out there, wait and listen to silence while I fight Kasumi or whatever her name is. So how did that go? You know what? And the reviews were a bit mixed, but it made it fun for me. So we're not doing one this week, but I may have to dust that gimmick off and bring it back just to keep making these fun. Because if making these podcasts stops being fun, there's no chance I'll be able to keep doing them. There really isn't. And I like doing them. It's good. It's good times. Do you like listening to podcasts? Because the place to go... Resist the urge to say lemon part. The place to go is thenextround.net. Nextround.net, guys. That's where we're hosted. Nextround.net, and then there's my blog, TigerClawTV.com. We're gonna play another track from The King of Time, the classic 2010 NES album from yours truly, Green Leo. Again, this is an old album. I've been there for free. It's been enjoyed worldwide a total of maybe 50 times. You can go to TigerClawTV.com. And get yourself a copy. Playing it because I don't have a whole lot of music available to play this week. And this kind of gets me out of that jam. So, that's what we're going to do. All right, Tiger Claw Radio. Finish the rest of this recording tomorrow, but there's a couple of things I wanted to get out. The high score challenge, something we talked about last week. I pitched the idea of doing a high score challenge. The whole thing completely done on the honor system. There were some comments about it that we're going to go over in the fail bag when I record tomorrow. But the game, the high score challenge game this week is going to be real simple. It's going to be Spy Hunter on the NES. I wanted to pick a game that everybody knew and everybody had, and I want to lift this one up and throw a big cheers to my pal Hemrock, who recently sent me a copy of Spy Hunter. I've talked about it on the air. It was a gracious move, and I personally want another reason to enjoy this game. So get yourself a copy of Spy Hunter. Emulation is just fine if that's what you got. It's going to be a no-cheat run. Just do a no-cheat run and write down whatever your score is. You've got all week to play it and just give it your best. And we'll just compare notes in the comments at the end of next week's show. So play Spy Hunter. I have here, I wanted to note that I've been having trouble getting uploads to take. So I tried updating the archive, and I had some issues with it. So the archive is a bit spotty, but trust me, I'm saving all the masters until I can get that sorted out. So bear with me on that one. And I think that's the extent of my notes. Don't forget to download a copy of The King of Time. Hey, you know what? These songs are like less than 3 minutes. I'm going to go ahead and roll another one. We're going to play another track from The King of Time, which you can download at tigerclawtv.com. I'll put the link in the podcast post. You can also get it from thenextround.net, where this podcast is downloaded. And when we come back, it'll be Failbag time. Failbag time recorded at 5 o'clock in the morning. See you guys then. As usually the case with time travel, there has been a miscalculation. Fellow Tiger Claw Radio listeners, we step out of our time machine not Friday morning at 5 a.m., but Sunday evening at 9:15 p.m. What has happened? I set the dials correctly. The flux capacitor was doing its job fluxing. But things have happened, and so here we are. Ready to do the failbag and close the show. But hey, a couple of things have happened in the elapsed couple of days. Why not go over them? Well, my birthday happened, which is great. So I got my graphics card for my new computer, which is a GeForce GTX 750 Ti. That's a graphics card from last generation, which is fully equipped to run the games that I specifically want it to run. I'm specifically interested in playing Counter-Strike Global Offensive, which is what I designed this build for, and I'm also interested in playing Witcher and Witcher 2. Don't know how well it's going to run on Witcher 3. There have been clock tests, I believe, if I got this right, that show it playing Witcher 3 at like 15 frames per second, which I don't know what that looks like. I don't imagine. By the time I get to playing Witcher 3, I'll have already had my fill of 1 and 2 and Counter-Strike Global Offensive, and I think by that time I'll have shed the whole integrated HD chipset, the perception I have of graphics now. So we'll see. I'm really looking forward to it, and my RAM cards have come in the mail. I've got I got a two-card set from Corsair, the Corsair Vengeance DDR3. It's an 8-gigabyte package, 2 4-gigabyte cards. Now, I built a DDR. The more I learn about RAM, the more it looks like this DDR4 thing is going to be the thing of the future. RAM cards that work better, and you can buy them bigger. But right now, they're not. The pricing for DDR4 RAM is not in a practical price range. Whew. Yeah, it's pretty pricey stuff. And in order to take advantage of the next standard, you have to, your motherboard has to be a DDR4, like, adapt motherboard, and so does the processor. So basically, that's a standard that's going to be for another machine for another time. This is what I'm going with. Let's get away from this new computer, though, because I find when I talk about this, it's easy to wander off on tangents that I'm not too knowledgeable about. I'm learning a lot of this stuff for the first time. I'm doing a lot of this for the first time, and yeah, there it is. And so I have to kind of eat my words a lot of the time, especially when I bought my processor. I was showing my build to some guys on like a help desk forum, and I was like, "This is what I got. These are the parts I already have. I need to get a processor." And they're like, "Whoa, you spent how much on a motherboard? $120 on an AMD motherboard? Really, you did that?" That was the response I got back. And yeah, I guess apparently you can get one for $60. So I'm a big dumb idiot. Oh well, I wanted it because I wanted extra PCI slots and I wanted extra drive bays and SATA ports. So what's going to happen is once I'm done with my build, I'm going to have 100 USB ports. And there you go. All right, so right, I was going to move on. What else happened? My old computer. E-machines. Do you guys remember E-machines? Lazy Game Reviewers did a wonderful episode about E-machines. The pre-built computers sold in mass, mostly from Best Buy, in 2000s, late 2000s, is when I got mine, 2007 or so. Now, I remember reading that my model was a specifically designed model to be sold during the Best Buy Black Friday sale. Now, this was Best Buy's Black Friday in 2007, when it was much more of a thing. They weren't opening up Black Friday deals on Thanksgiving Day yet. It was still just Black Friday. So, the crowds were bigger than they are now. I mean, don't get me wrong, the crowds are still pretty big now, but this was probably the worst I'd ever seen it. I'm not saying it's the worst it's ever been, but it's the worst I'd ever seen it. And so this computer, my old computer, was specifically designed to be sold during that time. It's got a 3.33 gigahertz single-core Celeron processor. Pretty slow by today's standards. And it has a... okay. Summing this up. Excuse me. It's got an old processor, but it has a PCI Express slot for a graphics card, and there's a sticker on the front that says expandable for a PCIe slot. Get a graphics card. Okay, all right. So I looked up the model number, and I found posts on an old forum of people asking, "Hey, what kind of graphics card can I put in this car?" Wow, I just said that on the air. What kind of graphics card can I put in this machine? And let's see what I have here. The recommendation was an EVGA GeForce 7200 GS. And there was another person that said the 8400 GS was the way to go. I looked up both of these. They're about $30 either way. So I might just drop the $30 and put one on there. I don't know what it'll do with its Celeron 3.33 processor. But I don't know. I kind of just want to play with it a little bit. I like having the old computer running primarily because it still has a serial port. So I wired it into my network. I can use it, if nothing else, I can use it to process PS1 memory cards from the memory card and dump them into data format and use them in emulators, or vice versa. Take my emulated saves and dump them onto real PS1 memory cards, which would also be very, very cool. I want to keep that old computer repurposed. I'm super interested in that. Possibly just because I'm learning hardware and it having an old computer like this, I feel a little bit more comfortable like tinkering with it. For example, it had an issue with it couldn't get on the Wi-Fi because at some point we upgraded to Fios in our house, my in-laws, and can't get on the network anymore. The wireless network card is too old. So I bought a USB network card, and I put it in the back, and I got it hooked up. I was like, yes, this thing can get on the network. If I can get this thing on the internet, then I can get it to my Steam account, which means I can run a great many of the games that are appropriate for this machine. Civilization 3, the original Hexen Heretic, what else? Anything from Night Dive Studios should work, because all that shit is just dumped on there anyway, so I imagine if nothing else, it should still work on an old computer, because goodness knows that crap isn't updated to work on modern machines. But anyway, yeah, I wanted it to get on the internet so that I could do that and actually log time in these games. But I'm still working on that. What happened was I got the wireless card hooked up, and it did connect to the internet, but it's connecting and dropping and connecting and dropping and connecting and dropping. And I don't know why. I haven't quite figured that out yet. I haven't had the chance to research it either, but that was kind of a big letdown. Because, of course, Steam had to update, because Steam hadn't been run on that computer in many, many years. Let's see if I have anything else written down. That's about it. I sat down with Spy Hunter. Get your copy of Spy Hunter out, guys. If you don't have Spy Hunter to get an NES simulator, write down your scores. So I already started playing earlier today. I got on my NES Advantage so I could play arcade stick style, because that's my thing right now. Logged a couple of scores. No cheats in Spy Hunter for the NES, the NES port of Spy Hunter. Get your weapons ready and come join me. All right, guys, let's do what I came to do. You ready?
It's time for the fail bag.
It's the Failbag. It's the fantabulous form of entertainment where I read your questions, comments, anything you have you want read on the air. If you want to interact with me, head over to TigerClawTV.com, leave a comment, or head over to thenextround.net, leave a comment there. Pretty much anywhere you get this podcast, if you leave a comment, it's liable to be read on the air. Also, I keep a traditional email address open, and I check it every week. It's TigerClawRadio@yahoo.com. Feel free to write in there. If you don't want me to release your name on the air, just say so. You can also do audio comments, even though I haven't got one of those in a very, very long time. I just thought I'd mention that that's still a thing. So let's get right down to it. There was a lot of activity on TigerClawTV.com this past week, which was, oh, so delicious, because I do so enjoy activity on the website of mine very own. So let's jump to the top of the list and get answering. Kaiser writes in, "You nearly made the James Rolfe bunny suit story not depressing. Then you just had to say JonTron." Yeah, do not like that guy. You don't like JonTron, really? Is there any reason you don't like JonTron other than he's popular? And look, I get it. He's a clown and a goof, and that doesn't appeal to everybody. But I don't know. At least JonTron seems like he legit enjoys video games, and that's what he's built his video making talent on. And he also seems like he is a halfway decent person and doesn't have too much of a big scandal surrounding him, other than the big mystery of his ejection from the Game Grumps. But I don't know, he seems like an okay guy. Not my cup of tea, but he wasn't one of the chosen ones for me to follow. But I don't know, I think he's okay. Mugaru 553. How is it? Mugaru 553. Much better. Writes, "Didn't mind the audio style Let's Play, but it sounded a bit dirty during those bits where you weren't speaking. I may not have said it on Twitter, but I listened in a while and seeing it pop up in my feed, I checked TCR for old time's sake. I was pleasantly surprised that outside of playing DOA 2 while talking, it was very much like listening to it for the first time, years and years ago. Keep on keeping on. Thanks so much, man. And by the way, guys out there, this cat had some posts on Twitter that were incredibly encouraging. Unfortunately, I don't have them up at the moment, so I can't read them on the air. But thanks for the kind words, man. Stuff like this is what keeps me coming back and continually making these, which is cool. Yeah, I'm glad you're listening. Much appreciated. So we're going to get back to this in a second, because he asked a question had some comments on Twitter, rather, that I want to address, but we're going to get back to that. Let's do the Gaming Beast next. He writes, I was thinking of playing MAME while chilling and having some snacks. Sounds cool. I'm going to work towards MAGFest 2017 goal. I understand your frustration with video producing. Those technical problems stand often in the way of me getting more videos done. Hopefully you can resolve your video editing issue. I'd really like to see that Suikoden video one of these days. Why don't you try your hand on a Let's Play? I remember that zombie game set in the office LP and enjoyed the hell out of it. LPs are pretty easy to produce, and they're a good filler. You can always take one of those semi-LP podcast ones. I think it would be awesome to watch / listen. I want to get an arcade stick on one of these days. Excuse me, sorry. I had a hard time catching my breath. I'm getting tired. Got a Logitech gamepad and a Thrustmaster. Lulzy name for sure. Flight stick. You know what, dude? And this is me responding. I'm interrupting his letter real quick. I believe I also have a Thrustmaster, because I have a Logitech flight stick. I don't know if it's a Thrustmaster or not, so I've only used it a couple of times, but I got it in an outdoor flea market with none other than Vintage Video Game Geek, and it was $2, and it's the most amazing thing in the world to play Wing Commander 3 with. Don't know if it's a Thrustmaster or not, though. So what were you saying? I felt TCR has been regular, and I've been enjoying it. I've been struggling to keep the Beastcast regular, and you've been doing way better than me when it comes to continuous schedule. Thanks for the kind words for TNR, broski. I feel we're all making the website great. And by the way, this site is one of the biggest sites TNR gets traffic from. He's referring to TigerClawTV.com, by the way. Thanks, man. By the way, I checked out that new Doom box art, and it's horribly generic. I've seen parodies where they just change the title to Halo or Call of Duty, and you can't even see the difference. The Doom games used to have great box art made by the best illustrators. One of the real bad sides of modern gaming. Good luck. Good episode, man. Rock on. Oh, man. Doom. Yeah, see, here's one of the things that I think of when I think of modern Doom. They've got shareholders to deal with now. That wasn't the case back then. They've got, you know, people. They've got boards of advisors and stuff like that. They can't just get together. They being, what is it, Bethesda makes this now? ID, I think, is owned by Bethesda. They can't just say, here's the game we're going to make. Creative control is split among 100 people, and they're all looking at charts and numbers and just doing the best they can to formulate rather than to create. So that's what happens to artistic vision. Even if these guys said, hey, this is the new Doom we want to make, it's going to be amazing, and we've got this beautiful vision, and you know, I'm sure concept artwork to back it up, and they bring it, and then that dream just gets mutated, you know. Point of reference, I call you to the Kickstarter video for Wasteland 2 that came out. What was the guy's name? Brian something, who created one of the old video game greats, who created the original Wasteland in the 80s and worked on Fallout and Fallout 2. And he was talking about pitching Wasteland 2, and the guy's going, hey, why don't we make it a first-person shooter? I hear vampires are in. That's not really a joke. That kind of stuff is what happens. So I look at this cover, especially when you compare it to like the screenshots of the game. The screenshots of that game, what I've seen thus far, look legit, dude. That game looks legit. As legit as you could make it these days. So I have to feel like this is a too many cooks in the kitchen type scenario. And I don't think that's always a bad thing, the whole too many cooks in a kitchen. But I think in this case it might be spoiling the soup, as they say. And he writes, P.S. The high score game would be fun, just like the old days of TCR. I would be up for it. I think the honor system would work. Or, as Death Adder said, a short video or pick. Okay, guys. I haven't posted anything yet, but before this goes up, I will. If you head over to TigerClawTV.com, it's a text link on the right-hand side, TigerClawTV and Radio Forums. I do have a forum, okay? So you guys can post scores on the forum and compete with each other. I mean, or I guess you could just post your scores as text comments. That'd probably be easier to just post your scores as text comments. But by all means, post them and compete with each other while you're waiting for the next week's episode to come out. Let's try and keep those on the nextround.net, because that can keep us utilizing the next round's comment system and probably hopefully get us a little bit more attuned to communicating with each other on the next round website, which I think would be a cool way to do it. So post your score. I mean, you can post them anywhere. It's not like it's a tournament rule or something like that, but play Spy Hunter, post your scores on the nextround.net on the comments, and I'll do a tally before next week, and we'll see how it goes. I've already enjoyed, like I said earlier, I sat down with it today. I really enjoyed playing this game just with the notion that, look, this run that I'm doing makes a difference. You know what I mean? This, I'm going to write down this score, and it makes a difference. Because that game, Spy Hunter is cool, man, but there's no ending sequence, I don't think. It's not like you can beat Spy Hunter for the NES. It's like Space Invaders. Just more aliens come. Even if you kill them all, there's more aliens come. Nothing you can do about it. Best example, Missile Command. Doesn't matter how good you are at it. That game is eventually going to end in thermonuclear war. Thermonuclear holocaust. That's Missile Command. I played Missile Command in front of my son. I can't remember how old he was, but I was playing on the Atari 2600, which doesn't show a mushroom cloud. I think like the arcade version, but instead the screen flashes and it goes in one of the great way Atari did its sound effects, and then after that, dead silence. No graphical cues, no audio cues, no press start to continue, dead silence until you got up and pressed a button on your machine. And that was chilling, and my son was like, "What happened, Daddy?" Well, got some bad news for you, mate. We're all dead. Okay, so that was what happened there. See, then we come to Vintage Video Game Geek's comment. Before we do that, let's talk about Mugaru553's comments from Twitter. I wish I had them open, but long story short, there was some discussion of maybe the launch of a new podcast. So I just wanted to share a couple of my trade secrets. He's thinking about doing his own thing. He's been on a podcast for a while, it looks like. I was checking around on his Twitter account, and I hadn't heard his existing podcast. But I get the feeling it's like with an ensemble, and he's getting ready to go out on his own. So I will check that out hopefully this week. But again, just want to share a few of my trade secrets, because I like to play this game like an open book. So I think we all do better when we help each other out. So a couple of things. You can do this with zero money, like I'm sure you figured out already. Audacity has done a really good job of working with all my equipment. Fiverr is something I didn't know about for the longest time. You can it $5 and you can hire a voiceover person to read like 50 or 60 characters. No, I'm sorry. 50 or 60 is like when you get somebody to read it on a video. A voiceover is usually like 100 to 200 or 100 to 150. Enough that you can have somebody read off you're listening to Mugaru's whatever show, and then have them pause and then say, "Thanks for listening. Please come back to such and such a website." And I know you are from the kind of otaku, like anime sort of crowd, if I'm not mistaken. There are some people who do voiceovers, I think, for your flavor exceedingly well. So that's, I mean, if you want to drop $5 on assets, that's one way to do it. I've kept my ear to the ground for assets for a long time. If you ever get anybody of note, you know, to sit down and talk to, have them record a bumper for you, man, because you'll kick yourself if you forget. Hey, can you just say you're listening to such and such? Just do it. I mean, even if it sounds like a hacky move, trust me, you'll be glad later. A rookie mistake I did myself and a lot of people is careful about post editing and post too much, because it's always great to add the sound effects and stuff in Audacity, but if you try and edit your own speech, I mean, if you say something inappropriate that you feel like has to be taken out, of course, by all means, take it out. But there's a rookie mistake of trying to take out every and and stuff. I came to the conclusion pretty early on, if you try and do that, then you'll never get anything on the air. Now, it just occurs to me, I don't mean this segment to be patronizing, because you were with an ensemble, I believe, doing a podcast already, but just a few words of encouragement. Shoot me a message on Twitter when you get your first episode up, and I'll let everybody here on TCR know. We're rooting for you, buddy. We move on to, we do the Game Geeks. Ah, yes. Vintage Video Game Geek and his lovely array of comments, which are really awesome, because he writes probably just about as much as any of these other guys. It's just split up into like 10 different lines. He says, all right. Oh, hells yeah. I loves me some DOA 2, and I plan to review the PS2 port. Speaking of DOA, they made a live-action movie, and it was pretty damn decent. Really, did they? Because I love Dead or Alive, and there's a lot I don't know about that series. So you and Mugaru seem to have conflicting opinions on how the live action Let's Play went. Maybe I'll find a formula to control the heavy breathing. This seems to work though. Right now, I'm not playing a game, but I loaded up Dead or Alive again. I loaded up Dead or Alive 4 on my Xbox 360, and I just have it sitting in attract mode. It's just running the demo and showing the little fights and CPU versus CPU, whatever, and that's good enough. I don't know. I'm constantly playing with the format, and any long-running show, in order to stay alive, you have to constantly play with the format. I think that's the key, especially if you're especially being here by myself. My goodness. All right, of course, I'm listening. He writes, I bought Donald Duck Gone Quackers for the Nintendo 64 at that indoor flea market. I was there again, dude, just recently. Just recently, and I saw that case that you got that from. That very same case that you got that game out of. But I was with my family, so I couldn't really stop and look at it. Apart from that, yeah. I think the outdoor flea market that was next to it has closed down permanently. But, you know, whatevs. He also writes, kind of bummed that I wasn't at Fagfest this year. Wow. Way to hate on Magfest, brah. Yeah, we missed you. For sure. But I gotta be honest. I think you probably would have been disappointed. Especially the distance you came, you would have had to trek to get there. I don't see any recognizable faces like out hanging out that are approachable. Because when we were there, there was like Gamester was there, and then a bunch of people. NES Complex I got to meet for the first time, and like there was a presence there, and I was comfortable talking to those dudes. This time, I kind of felt like by myself, if I didn't have my pal with me. It was kind of weird, man. I don't know, maybe I'm just getting too old to be mixing with the con kids, but I don't know. Other comments. Dodonpachi is the correct pronunciation. Thank you. Excellent game series. The home versions are hella expensive, though. Not buying any of those. He writes, do you want me to send you an audio question? Sure, that'd be great. Even if it's snarky as hell, it'd be something to break up the sound of my voice a little bit. Then he writes, I'm sorry your Japanese Game Boy game didn't work. You know, it's funny you say that, because after I got off the air last week, I did actually get it to work. I don't know why it was getting stuck in that boot loop like that. I've never seen a Game Boy Color do that. But it did work. I took it out and reset it, blew on it a little bit more, and Yeah, it worked. I got it to work. It was crazy. Anyway, it's, I'm sorry you totaled your car. Yeah, I really almost died that day. It was pretty shitty, actually. And did you know that when an airbag deploys, it makes the cab smell like gunpowder? It's the smell, I think, that shocked me more than anything else. The smell and the fact that it didn't really hurt. Like, I thought it was... I had heard that if an airbag goes off when you're holding a steering wheel at 10 and 2, it breaks both of your arms. That's what I had been told. But it didn't. It was really okay. And no one was hurt. Miss my old car, though. he writes, I would say JonTron is the king of... is the king, too. F. Pootie Pie. Poods isn't too bad. It's easy to hate on Poods because he is dollars and cents the king. But he's... Poods does a different product than the rest of us do. He's not doing reviews. He's not doing... Poods isn't going to sit down and play an Atari. You know what I mean? You really think that guy knows what a ColecoVision is? Get out of here. He writes, I like chiptunes. I'm glad, dude. I'm glad. I like them too. I want to get some new ones. Please recommend me a good chiptune album. I see... When I'm fooling around on Tumblr, everyone every now and then, I see chiptune albums. Because Tumblr is the place where they come out. Tumblr and the... what is it now? The chiptune, like, cultural hub. Chiptunes.org? Chip music. Chip music, that's what it is. The reason why Tumblr is because people like to show off their album cover art. And that's a place that allows them to do that. So, I'm sure they come out on Twitter as well, but I'm not really tapped into that market, I guess. But yeah, I see the albums coming out, but I'm always like looking at my phone and I never download them or whatever, so, you know, what are you going to do? I could use a new, like, really good chiptune album, I guess. I've never heard of the Coleco Chameleon. Oh my gosh, get with the program, man. I know at this point it's a thing that was a disaster, and there was some deception going on, but I haven't read a single article or watched a single video. I've got, like, three different videos on my watch later list about the Coleco Chameleon, but now that I know the whole thing went bust, I'm not in a hurry to figure out what happened. Except that there was some blowback about Games 31, because Games 31 was making his game on the Coleco Chameleon. Or that was his plan. So I guess when the whole thing went belly up, there was some anti-Games 31 sentiment. And let me just say, I am standing to be counted for Team Games 31, because that dude is awesome. And I don't buy it for a second that he would have a hand in turning anybody... in defrauding anyone. That man wouldn't defraud anybody. If any of you bros come across any anti-Games 31 sentiment connected to this Coleco Chameleon thing... let me just say, I'm 100% against that, because that dude's awesome. He writes, I would not do the high score battle. You know what, dude? You know what, dude? You sound like... That comment reads like you and I are standing in a Kmart, right? And the lady behind the counter at the register is like having a difficult time with English. And she's trying her best to bag stuff, but she's old. She's kind of slow. And you really got to go. And you're like, ma'am, I'm not shopping here anymore. And she goes, okay, I'm not shopping here anymore. That's what this sounds like. And the lady's probably like, I don't own the stock here. I don't care. I want everyone to know, duly noted, Vintage Video Game Geek is not going to get out his copy of Spy Hunter and jam video games with us. You know why? Because that dude is legit. He doesn't have to prove his skills. He doesn't have to prove that he's not a fraud or big baby by playing a game for 5 minutes, writing down 4 to 5 digits on a piece of paper, and then relaying them in a text comment. That is too much work for royalty like Vintage Video Game Geek. Let it be known, hear ye, and that's where it's at. And finally, he writes, I'm rooting for you too, buddy. Thanks, man. Especially this weekend, I appreciate hearing that. It's my birthday today, and you know what? It's been a tough day. It's been a great day, but birthdays, I think, at some point in my life started getting tough. But it's cool, man. thanks for all the comments, dude. It's really awesome to hear from you. Gaming Beast and Kaiser and Mugaru as well. And I apologize, by the way, if I'm pronouncing that wrong. I'm sure I'm totally butchering your screen name. please bear with me. I'm never listening to this again. I'm never coming to this Kmart. I'm never doing this high score battle. And you can eat shit because I'm not doing any of that. All right. Let's see. What happened? Okay, the next round. There's a couple on the next round, or one on the next round that we haven't read. From Death Adder. Death Adder 83 writes, your high score idea sounds pretty fun. You could pick an old NES shoot 'em up or something and mention it on your next podcast and then be like, this date in the future, you have to submit it to the show. I think everyone could abide by the honor system, but people could also take pics or make videos and send them in to you. Knowing that, I'd be competing in the same league as Vintage Video Game Geek. Knowing that I'd be competing in the same league as Vintage Video Game Geek would be the thrill of a lifetime. Well, I hate to disappoint you, Death Adder, but Vintage Video Game Geek is all class, and he's not going to lower himself to play Nintendo for 5 minutes and share his achievements with us. I know it's going to hurt inside hearing that, but that's just the way it is. And we got to respect that because he's a celebrity. All right. So the way we did it, I think in the old days, because we used to do these on the forums at tigerclawtv.com, we would just do it by text. But if the scores started to get really high, as a courtesy, we would just use our phones and take pictures and post them in Photo Bucket and then link them. I think that's good enough. I don't feel the need to... Like, if you want to just write down the score and that's it, that's fine. Come play with us. I want to make this as easy as possible for you guys to enjoy your Nintendo games with us on the air. That's what I want. You know what I mean? If at any time you think, this is too complicated, then something's wrong. Unless, like, your Nintendo's not hooked up and it's a problem, then I could see that. But we're gonna go with Spy Hunter this time. I think an old NES shmup is a great idea, but I have to go back and play these games and figure out which games are best tuned to high score battles. Because my initial idea was I was gonna do Mike Tyson's Punch Out. Mike Tyson's Punch Out actually does have a score system, but when can you write down the score? Do you write it down on the game over screen? Because I played through the first fight to see how it worked. The score shows up in game, but once the match is over, you don't see it anywhere. I don't know. I don't know how that would work. Like 6 years ago or more, we did a high score battle for on the RetroWare TV on those forums. That tells you how long ago this was. They had a battle for the Super Nintendo version of Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. What is it? Super Punch-Out. There you go. And it was like, you had to get through the league with Super Sandman, with Mr. Sandman as the boss. You had to get through that particular set of fighters. And then your overall arcing score for just that set of fighters was what they were battling against. Which was actually pretty cool. I remember playing through that like all weekend to try and get a good score and getting beaten out. But that was hella fun. This week we're playing Spy Hunter, but in the future if this becomes a thing that everyone likes to participate in, we might do Super Punch Out. By the way, since there's no prizes, I feel no need to close the door on it. Like picking a date or something like that, I don't feel the need to pick a date because we do Spy Hunter this week, but next week if we pick another game and you still want to play Spy Hunter, please still tell us your score. Please still tell me on the next round.net what you got, and I'll read it on the air. We'll compare notes. So never close the door on it. It's the same way we did it back in the old days. All the old high score challenges we did on TigerClawTV.com, they're all still active and open for you to participate. We had some weird ones too, like how many points could you get in Defender on the Atari 2600 in 2 minutes timed? And stuff like that. Like, we had some cool ones. I never closed the door on those. We just ran them until everyone got tired of posting things, and then it was the end. And that's really, I think, the way this should be. Keep it loose. Keep it simple, stupid. I guess is the mantra. And I think that's it. I think we did it, guys. I don't have another song to play because I've been playing my own songs with that, which I think is hacky enough as it is. I don't remember which ones we played and which ones I didn't. So the name of the album is The King of Time. It was the second album I released. First one I played with a couple of different tools to make music on. That was called Casual Gamer. There's some work on there that I'm proud of. Second one was called The King of Time, which I developed to be on a Nintendo cartridge. Never made the cartridge happen, but the album still exists. I'm proud of that one. That's what you've been listening to tonight. And then there was a third one called Awesome Jeff. Awesome Jeff was a concept album which I based around Maniac Mansion. All of the songs were dedicated to different characters from Maniac Mansion. So there's like A Date with Wendy. Wendy was a character in that game. And then there's like somebody stole the Weird Edsel. Weird Edsel was a car in that game. All sorts of things from that game. And it was just chiptunes. I think the overall quality bar dropped a little bit for Awesome Jeff, but there were a couple of tracks that I'm really proud of. King of Time, probably the better listen all the way through, but Awesome Jeff's got a couple of good tracks and then a bunch of throwaway ones. I don't know. All free. Download them, use them in your YouTube videos, whatever. I'm not going to come after you. You know, if these show up in a monetized video somewhere, that's all well and good. Have at it. Another week in the bag. So if you guys are listening to this, hang in there. Keep at it. Don't despair. Next weekend I'll be here and you can play some awesome video games. Play some Spy Hunter. Tell me how you did. We'll compare notes. So whoever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever your job is, this is Critical Failure. Wishing you all the best. I'll see you guys next week.
Tiger Claw Radio is an independently produced program. To keep TCR on the air, head over to tigerclawtv.com and leave a small donation. Special thanks to Gamester81.com and thenextround.net for aid in distribution. Join us again next Monday for more Tiger Claw Radio.
By the way, if you ever do end up going to Fiverr to look for assets for your new podcast, dude, the guy who just did The Closer is named Neil McKenzie. That guy was not great. I had to wait 3 days for that. And he said he worked in a studio. I'd heard better mixes in my life. But the guy who does the opening is named Tiny Mike on Fiverr, and he did an amazing job. Amazing. If I end up sinking another $5 into assets for the show, I'm definitely getting more from that dude. Just a couple of recommendations of people I dealt with. All the best.